welcome back to another Jackrabbit Illustrated podcast brought to you by our title sponsor, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. Whether it's tractors, mowers, utility vehicles, construction, or farm equipment, Kubota's got you covered. Now with 9 locations across the state of South Dakota, there's always a dealer nearby. Visit your local Kubota dealer today. Jackrabbit podcasts are also sponsored by Culver's of Brookings in Watertown, the home of the Butterburger, Jackrabbit Central, the best place to get your Jacks gear, and the best sports bar in South Dakota, Cubby Sports Bar and Grill. Without further ado, here is the A-Team.
Hey everybody, welcome to another A-Team podcast here with Jackrabbit Illustrated. I'm Dallas. Got kind of a weird lineup without Matt, which is just bizarre. He's off in, I don't know, we'll call it Cancun. I think that's what I heard. I can only assume it's some sort of like Podfather Summit or something. He's sitting and smoking a cigar and drinking really expensive booze and making big decisions.
Mai Tais with his pinky out, I think.
What's that?
Mai Tais with his pinky out.
Mai Tais, pinky. Yes, I agree. I think that's very much Matt. So we're going to wing it here, Chad and I, and gratefully we are joined by Tanner Castora. Tanner, what's going on, man?
Busy weekend. Enjoyed watching the game. Great crowd again, and happy to be in the podcast today to talk about it.
Cool. Again, very happy to have you here. Chad, what's new with you?
Not a whole lot. You know, typical Sunday for me, although, you know, we couldn't have had much more to ask for on a perfect Hobo Day Saturday. The only thing that would have made it better is if, you know, Youngstown State would have pulled that one off down south. But it is what it is, and now we got to just smack the pups around when their time comes. So
I know we got things to talk about. I disagree with you on that. You should be happy that they beat Youngstown State. It makes that game even bigger. I'm telling you right now, that college game day could go there. It's possible. We can get to that, but I'm telling you it's possible.
And I called that to one of their alumni.
Like, I want those things to happen. Yeah. I'm no offense, Tanner. I'm from South Dakota. Seeing them squander their talents does not hurt my feelings.
Okay. What is the fun of college sports if not for just stupid pettiness? Petty, and that's the best part.
That's right.
Really is. So, all right. So I'm excited to hear some more about Hobo Day. I, once again, wasn't there. I don't remember the last October Hobo Day that I made it to. I work in a fall heavy business. So I'm going to make it. So I'm excited to hear you guys' take. Once again, real quick, thank you to Kubota Dealers of South Dakota. If you have some work to get done, you need, you know, tractor, mower, anything like that, you got work to do, get to Kubota. I'm pretty sure it will make you a better person all around. So do that. Thanks to Kubota of South Dakota. I want to kind of talk through just agenda for the week. Do you know, this is another on-air production meeting, Chad, is there some changes in when things are coming out with Matt being gone?
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay, so we're going to get everything out normal?
Yeah, we've got Ben filling in pretty much, so.
Very nice. Thank you to Ben for doing that. And B-Team will go live when, Chad?
8:30 tomorrow night is our typical time, and we should be on time this week. We were off our regular time last week because we had a guest come on, and so we got to kind of move around that schedule sometimes.
Got to wing it. Oh, I'm also excited to see how those guys did at the game. I didn't get a chance to really hear any recaps. And then last piece I wanted to bring up is I do have a special guest here for the week. I don't have it scheduled yet, but Mr. Luke Martin, who is the voice of the Sock Lukies. He's a friend of the pod from a few years ago. He used to be the voice of the Sycamores, and now he's moved down south. He's the voice of Southern Illinois, and I'm going to get some time lined up to chat with him and learn more about that squad, and we'll talk more about them later. So I'm pumped for that. He's a good dude. So back to Hobo Days, I guess. Whoever wants to start, Chad, I guess, what was your take? How was the game?
Well, the game was great. You know, as Brendan pointed out on his podcast earlier this morning, when we're watching the game, it's not really easy to analyze it. We're just there in the atmosphere taking it in, and I'm just a fan at that point. But on the rewatch, it's pretty much the same thing. We pretty much completely dominated them outside of the first couple of series where they were fresh. It was obvious the Hogs just wore them down and had their way with them at that point. You know, they were selling out to stop the run. And, you know, I got a note here that says, you know, Isaiah Davis had a silent 100-plus yard game because that's what it was. I mean, we all knew he got over 100 yards, but, you know, it didn't feel like a big Isaiah Davis game, but it'd be a big game for almost anyone else. Those are some of my takeaways. How about you, Tanner? You got any fun takeaways like that?
Well, I think for one, it's one of the best parts of college football is the pageantry. And there's a lot of that on Hobo Day. I didn't make it to the parade, but I heard it was well done. I will say, and this is different than I'd say the, you know, the past couple of years, past couple of decades. A lot of times you'd say, oh, it was a great crowd and it was so nice to see. Well, it's been like that every week. I mean, every single week it's been a sellout. The crowds have been fantastic, and it was just more of the same. As far as the game goes, I mean, we can get into it a little bit, but they're just better. And South Dakota State is just better than everyone at this level. Like, it's not even close. I mean, there's nothing that Northern Iowa could do. They could do almost nothing against that defense. They could not stop them. If you're going to compete with South Dakota State, you have to play a nearly perfect game. You can't turn it over five times in the first half. The game was over pretty quickly, and South Dakota State was focused the entire way. Not one moment, even in the fourth quarter, did you think they had let their foot off the gas at all. I know that's been something the coaching staff has, I wouldn't say been, I guess you could say unhappy with the way that they finished games with the twos and the threes, and they were very good in that fourth quarter. There was a bit of a hiccup there early second half when they drove down quickly and got a field goal. That's maybe the only thing that you could point to that could have been cleaned up. But besides that, nearly flawless game from the offense and defense. It was a true team performance.
Kind of piggybacking off what you were saying about how great our team is, you know, and I don't like to be a rah-rah guy there, but we had Sean and Joe DeLeon from Hack City Podcast in, and I texted Joe and said, hey, you know, I'm a little biased. Tell me if this team really looks that good to you as an outside set of eyes. And he's like, dude, they're that good. I'm paraphrasing, but yeah, they're excellent. The chain gang was awesome. As Seth Meyers pointing out, they had a day. We had a couple turnovers that I'd like to have back, but you know, outside of that, I can't really, there's not a lot of negatives that were available at this game. You know, they've started to address the complaints we've had with cell service by bringing in a mobile cell tower for Verizon customers. They had all the concessions open and nobody was really complaining about lines. Getting into the stadium was good. The last thing to fix would be the getting out of the stadium afterwards. I mean, getting out away from the stadium with a car, but you know, you're kind of limited to the road structure. So I don't know that there's much to be done when you have essentially 20,000 people trying to get out of one spot with two ways to get out. So,
you know, yeah, just basic feedback from watching the game. And I got a chance to watch almost all of it. Really the same thing. The thing I wanted to bring up is I now understand why sports talk is so negative. Because if everything is positive, there's almost nothing to talk about. And my goodness, you know, outside of that game against just South Dakota last year, that was the highest graded game that Stig ever, you know, was a part of coaching. This was the best executed football game I've ever seen, right? Like, we could talk about, there was two fumbles. One of them, I think, was BS. We were just a victim of not having enough camera angles. I don't think that Marks was. And then then I guess a kick out of bounds, but that was a wonky play that I don't even know if that was called right. Anyway, and that's it. Everything else was basically perfect. We're a broken record every week talking about the offensive line and how great they are. I mean, flat out elite. One of my favorite things, by the way, to watch, Mason McCormick, who I talk about the most because he's not quite my cousin, is that if he doesn't lose really ever on a play because he grades out in the high 90s every week. But if he doesn't dominate a play, watching him the following play make up for it is so fun. Like, if you ever see him, if you happen to catch him get up off the bottom of a pile or something, watch him the next play, because he will make someone pay for it. He did that a couple times this last week. And then you already brought up the chain gang. That was the best defensive line game I've seen this year by far. And I'm trying to remember even last year, as great as that chain gang was, that version of that. I mean, this was great. You got to watch a controlled pass rush. You got to watch it was just well orchestrated. Again, they controlled depth. They controlled the pocket with Theo Day, because that's a quarterback that isn't super mobile by any means, but will absolutely destroy a team and pick you apart if he has time and feels comfortable. And he was not.
Yeah. And yeah, it's hard to talk about it, a game that goes this well, like you were saying. So any other takeaways you have, Tanner?
Yeah, I have a couple. I think starting with that note, as a writer, it's like, it's almost, and I say this as a compliment, it's almost boring, because there's nothing, it's just domination. I mean, they're so well coached and they execute so well, but at the bottom line of that sentence is South Dakota State just has better athletes and better football players than everyone they're going up against. They're just physically so much superior to their opponent. It's not even close. Like, I actually thought this was going to be a good game. I really did. I mean, we know about the struggles they've had against this team on this day, Hobo Day. None of that. I mean, none of that. I thought I'm watching warmups and then the first possession, Northern Iowa had some guys in that defensive line. And I thought, wow, they might be able to hold up for a little bit here. Not one bit. I mean, not at all. They're just better. And a couple guys that really stood out to me. One, Jaden Yonke is back to himself. He had been dealing with an injury. He looked great last week and looks even quicker this week. That was exciting to see. That move he had, that spin move to score in the second quarter.
I still, anytime anyone ever spins to the inside, I don't care who it is, I flinch and swear and don't think they should do it. But yeah, that was a great play.
It was a great play.
Perfectly executed.
he is coming alive. He is coming alive. And on that note with the Yankees, I think sometimes because there's two of them, people don't quite appreciate the talent that they are because there's two of them. Those guys, how do you stop them? I mean, they're bigger than every DB, and they're usually quicker and faster as well. So those guys are a matchup nightmare. Griffin Wilde had an unbelievable catch down the sidelines. That was an incredible catch. High-pointed the ball while maintaining 2 feet, tiptoeing on the sidelines. That was a great catch. The running game looks awesome. And then on defense, a guy that I think more than maybe anyone has taken advantage of his sixth year of football is Isaiah Stalbert. He has gotten better. He's always been a good player, and he has gotten better. He is reacting quicker. He's reading plays. He's in the right spot almost all the time, and he's flying around. I mean, he looks so comfortable out there. He had a great game. I think he had 2 tackles for a loss, a strip fumble. He had a sack as well. He looks awesome. And we're talking about this team and we're saying all these, I mean, we're speaking truth about how great they look, and they still are playing without one of the best defensive players in the country, in Adam Bach.
Correct.
That's how much better they can still get. It's just, it's an embarrassment of riches what they have. What the coaching staff has done here, recruiting wise and then development wise, it's incredibly impressive. And I don't know who can beat them. This is a question for you guys. And this won't matter if they don't continue to win and ultimately achieve the national championship again. But is this the best team you guys have ever seen play at this university?
Yes.
I think so, without question. And I think to answer your question on who could beat them, I think at this point it's got to be themselves, right? Like, only that's the clever only answer, team Chad. That can beat them right now. I mean,
even the penalties are cleaned up. No, I didn't see –
we had a couple, but they were kind of, I don't know. I felt like there weren't great penalties, most of them. So,
yeah.
Kicking it out of bounds. And that guy made an excellent play on that. I I guess I don't really like the way that rule works for that particular instance, but whatever. I mean, that's the rule is what the rule is. So,
well, you look around the country, and I really think it really is South Dakota State, Montana State. I don't know that there's anybody else in the conversation. And obviously, again, you look at that game, it's at our place. Crowd, I said the student section won the game. You put that in a neutral field. If they're actually healthy at the end of the season, which I don't think they possibly can be with the style of play that they have, I think we're much deeper. I don't know that there's anybody else, that at least that I've seen, on the national scene. I did want to quickly call out, there was somebody earlier, I think it was Corey Caraway, made a comment about putting up an FCS ticker at the stadium. I really appreciate that comment, because, you know, we've discussed a bunch that one of my favorite things about doing this is trying to educate and expand the fan base and get out and get people to understand kind of the general landscape and all that. And I thought that was awesome. So yes, I would love to see that. There's some other interesting games we can talk about later. Idaho team going down to Missouri. I don't know what the hell happened there. I did not stay up that late to watch that. So Montana. So that's an interesting one to watch, or to maybe to discuss. Also, you know, Idaho State winning, and, you know, the fact that, you know, Weber, who came in and beat Northern Iowa, they go down to Sac State. And anyway, so there's some interesting parity going on with the rest of the subdivision. But beyond that, no, it's really, you know, Montana State, South Dakota State, I think.
And to be honest with you, I mean, I don't know that they can even hang with the Jacks. Now, they did the first time around, but South Dakota State played a C game at best. And I thought Montana State played a pretty good game. South Dakota State's firing on all cylinders. You got to have a great passing game to attack this defense. I don't think they have it. And I've never – there's no one that I think can stop them on offense. So we'll see. But with North Dakota State obviously not being the team that they've been, and we'll get to them in this podcast – it might, I'm sure I'd agree with you that Montana State is the best bet to give the Jacks any problems in the playoffs.
I mean, you look at it, the Chang Gang's playing better, the Hogs are playing better, our wide receiving core is playing better. You can arguably say we're running the ball better. The DBs, I guess, are getting better as well. There's not really a position group that's not gotten better since the start of the year. We've just gelled. That's what's making us so dangerous right now, I think.
It is. I'm extremely impressed that Lujan hasn't tried to outsmart himself at all, because I can't imagine what it's like having that many tools and having to decide how you're going to approach a game. Because they could go, I mean, you know, Mark could step back and sling it, for 500 yards with those weapons if he needed to. And by the way, I tweeted out GFW Griffin freaking Wilde, and I think I'm only going to refer to him as GFW from here on out, because good Lord, that kid's a freak. He's going to do so many great things. And again, I will repeat, I said that we should redshirt him, and I'm not going to back off on that, but yeah, he's ridiculous. Him, Yankees, whatever. But then you could also turn around, and if we wanted to line up and run option, if we wanted to, you know, just line up in a wing T and run that, you know, with the backs that we have, we could pound it. At any rate, I'm really impressed with the, I don't want to say inexperienced coaching staff. That sounds insulting, but we have a ridiculously young coaching staff with not a ton of experience. And I mean, they look like absolute seasoned vets take over the world.
I would like to point out Seth Myers' comment here. We didn't play our best game against the Bobcats, and we need to give them some credit on that. I think they're an excellent team, and they did cause some of our issues, but I still think we have gelled and gotten better as a whole since that game. So
I think one thing too that's a good sign, if you saw the video of the team in the locker room after the game, how excited and enthusiastic they were.
How fun did that look?
They're awesome, not man. Bored with this success at all. There's no complacency at all. You didn't sense that coming into the season, and you still don't. I mean, they've been kicking teams' butts, and they're loving this. Like, there's no sense of like, oh, you know, just another day at work and let's go home after. Like, they're enjoying this, and that's a sign of a team that's still hungry. So that's good things to come, no question. They should continue to get better. Question for you, Dallas, because this is something that we talked about in the podcast a couple weeks ago. You still had, well, not big question marks, but we're still somewhat of not totally sold on the passing game.
Yeah.
Where are you at now with that?
Funny, I was going to bring that up, and no, I have no questions. If you look at, I mean, again, if I'm going to be ridiculously overcritical, there's a handful of times where I think that we could get into trouble against a great or elite secondary with Mark maybe not looking off people as well as he could. If you look at the almost pick that he had, he stared that guy down and tried to force the ball. Now, again, I'm not going to – one, it wasn't an interception. He didn't throw any and had an absolutely fantastic game. So, again, please take this with a grain of salt. But I think that's the last thing that I've just observed as a – I don't even call myself an armchair quarterback, just as a fan, that I feel like might be a little bit lacking. But, no, in terms of just decision-making, route running is fantastic. I think that – maybe I didn't appreciate how important it was to have both one Yankee and 10 Yankee on the field at the same time. No question marks. And the tight ends, the way that they've stepped in too, has been great to witness, because just the, you can bring in that, it's beyond jumbo package. I don't know what the hell you call it when you've got all three, that much meat lined up, you know, within a yard of the line of scrimmage with three tight ends. And the, you know, and the power that we have at running back, and you can still throw out of that set. Good Lord, that's not even fair.
I don't know that this is true. You guys can take this for what you want and agree or disagree. I think they could be at a point where if they only ran the ball the entire game, they still may be able to win. That's how overpowering they have been with their jumbo package. Obviously, yeah. You don't ever have to do that, but I'm just pointing out that that's how you talk about how Lujan has this huge toolbox of how to call a game. Yep. They're that good at running the ball, but you also have all these weapons. And I agree, he's done a very nice job of spreading it out where everyone is getting involved and everyone is being used.
Seth Meyer says he said hard to believe, but he thinks Lujan's an upgrade over Eck, and that's not an knock on Eck. You know, I think they both bring a little different play calling to the table. And one of the things I feel like with Lujan less than Eck is Eck seems to try to get a little bit too cute at times. Yep. And do the fun plays. And when they work out, they're fantastic. But if you watch that game, you'll see that maybe he got a little too cute this last week and it cost him the game.
No, that's well put. I mean, that was everybody's gripe about Eck. And again, I really like the guy. I think he's a fantastic coach. Players love him. Dude's brilliant. But you got the sense sometimes that he wanted people to be aware of him during the game. And no one has ever said that about Zach.
Nope. He's just calling a better game every game. And I'm not even sure how. He just gets better. What else is there to say, Dallas?
Not much. We can. I wanted to get back though and talk defense just a little bit more, and then maybe we can get into game balls. And I don't know, since Matt didn't weigh in, if we just go with Ben, who did a great job with rants and raves, basically just gave the game balls to the whole team, if I remember right, which seems a little lazy. But hey, it's all right. It's your first time. You know, I had trouble trying to decide. It's tough not to give it to Stallbird. With how present he was during the game, the stats that he had, number of tackles, you know, forced fumble, all that, you know, couple TFLs. I really want to give it to at least some member of the chain gang. And you can
choose them all, Dallas. I'll just make fun of you for
choosing. No, I'm not going to choose them all. I'm trying to decide. I'm going to be decisive here. But no, you know, Van Marl was there. DePriest, you saw a ton.
Christensen.
Yep. But to me, it's probably Caden Johnson. And just with that statement play that he made at the beginning on that jet sweep. And I wonder what he read, if it was a formation or what it was, because he was going to blow that guy up whether or not he had the ball. He had, I almost guarantee he didn't have a clue whether that guy had the ball or not. He just lit him up. And that's what he's intending to do. But I mean, that was just a make a statement play to start out the game. And that's where it went from there. So yeah, I'd probably go with Caden Johnson. But again, you could go with a handful of guys. What a just ridiculous defensive performance.
So Caden Johnson gets your game ball for defense. How about you, Tanner? Who do you have?
You know, I'm going to give it to Jesse Bobbitt.
Nice.
I thought the defensive plan was brilliant. When you look at how the game transgressed, it was up front with them shutting down the run that made Northern Iowa pretty much one-dimensional. And, of course, when you're behind all those points, you have to be throwing the ball. I think Theo Day was 18 of 26, but it was very ineffective. I mean, and one, there was one throw that was about 60, 70-yard gain late in the, I think that was third or fourth quarter. Take that away, he's not over 200 yards. They just were so ineffective on offense. And South Dakota State just looked one step ahead of them. I mean, that's the thing that if you go back and watch the game, whether you were there or watched it on TV, besides the one play in the fourth quarter, any pass that was completed, it's into a tight window. There's a guy right there. No one's running free. They were just in the right spots constantly throughout this ball game. Played fantastic. And again, I mentioned it earlier in the podcast, but the twos and the threes came in, did a heck of a job. They did not allow a single touchdown in this game. So I'll give my game ball to Jesse Bobbitt.
That's awesome. I think I'm going the lazy way, and I'm going to give it to Stallbird. I know on one of our broadcasts we had mentioned that we hadn't heard his name quite as much, and not because he wasn't playing well, but you know, he we just knew he had more to give. That steal was awesome. There's so many good players that, I mean, like, all my notes are defensive notes here. You know, it's just crazy. We had one play where let's see, who was it? Cade Tervier was coming in, and he just grabbed the guy's jersey and basically stopped him. Somebody got him at the ankles to finish the tackle, but he stopped him just grabbing cloth with another guy in his face. That was great. So some credit to them guys on the interior. But yeah, I have Stallbird down for me with the nine tackles and the turnover that he forced. Plus, you know, like you said, he had some other stats. We can move on. How about on offense, Dallas? Who do you got?
I got to go with Zach Hines. You know, that's more of a nod just to the continued evolution of the tight ends and you know, Mark's ability to spread the ball around. But, you know, a couple of touchdowns watching. That play I brought up earlier, you know, lining up in that super jumbo package and the touchdown that he had dragging back across the back of the end zone, that is so hard to stop. You get the momentum going one way, you clearly look like you're going to run the ball, and then you sneak a 6'7" dude out behind. I mean, that's almost unstoppable.
Yeah, I can agree with that. That's where I think I was heading. How about you?
Well, you said you were going to mention him. I don't want to steal your thunder. Were you going to mention an offensive lineman, Chad?
No, go ahead. No,
okay.
You're fine. I'll go. I was going to mention him. I was just going to say he's really been so good. That's all. I was just going to say he's been so good. I watched him on some plays, just housing guys when he was pulling. Go ahead.
Okay. I was between two guys. Jaden Yonke, that's my guy. I think he played terrific. I was leaning Jaden, but I'm going to go with Gus Miller. I was watching him closely during the game. I'm doing a feature story on him. He's so effective. He is quick. I can see why he's a good offensive lineman. He plays with leverage, and a lot of that comes from his wrestling background. He was fun to watch in the trenches. I'll give my game ball to Gus Miller, who has become kind of the captain of that line, where he has to understand both sides because he plays in the middle. I think he's done a terrific job, and again, flawless as far as snapping the ball this year. He's been terrific, so I'll give my game ball to Gus Miller.
And I had down either Hines or Gronowski, but since you went Hines, I'm going to go with Gronowski. You know, he was 21 of 26, 291, and three TDs. You know, he's got a running touchdown.
Is that good?
Every game. And he spread the ball to eight different guys, right? Eight. That tells you the weapons that we have. Do you guys have anything for special teams that you want to point out?
I thought Dustin did a good job responding. He had not the greatest game the week before. I thought he played well. He had that kick out of bounds, obviously, but played well. Two made field goals and completely bounced back, did his job. Also, too, in the press conference, Coach Rogers talked about him. He was asked about Dustin and said, no, I'm I have no worries about that kid. So I think he takes care of his business. He's a winner. And that showed this week. He had a, showed that he's reliable.
Dallas?
I'm desperately trying to remember. There was one really fun tackle that a freshman made on kickoff. Who was it?
Chase Van Tull. When he ran down and absolutely housed that guy when he made it
about five yards
out of the end zone. Oh, my gosh, that kid on fire. That's who gets my game ball. And I'd like to say that game ball segment been presented by Culver's of Brookings and Watertown. Be sure when you go up to a game or on your way down, if you're coming from the north, hit up Culver's, get yourself a Curter Burger. We're big fans of Culver's in this podcast. And with that, I think we'll move on. Unless there's anything else you guys would like to talk about from that game.
The last thing I have to say is Rogers talked about in the press conference, they threw some wrinkles at Northern Iowa that I think was clear that Northern Iowa was not prepared for. And just a good example of it's not just the Jimmys and Joes, but it is also the X's and O's at times. And South Dakota State called a great game.
You know, this is probably good timing to do that, leading into a couple of big games with the marker and playing just South Dakota, you know, in a couple of weeks. It's, you put some of those things on film and you're going to eat up, I've said this before, you're going to eat up 5 minutes of practice that week that they have, that otherwise they'd spend on something else. So it's very much a chess match during the season, and that's another reason why you want to do that.
Indeed. Did we want to talk about some of the other games around the Valley, or do you want to go forward to next week? Your preference.
I wouldn't mind. I mean, obviously, you got the giant game up north and the one down south. So, no, I think it's worth talking some Valley ball.
Let's hit it. Did you guys get any chance to watch any highlights from the UND game? Because I did not, unfortunately.
I have.
What's your takeaways from that one? Other than the score, obviously, makes it seem like the USD game, obviously not that much of a fluke at this point, right?
Well, UND, that's, tell me if I'm wrong, that's their arch rival, correct?
Oh, yeah. I mean, from UND's perspective, yes. More so that way than the other way, although it depends on who you ask.
Okay. But regardless, it's a huge game. I know they had some cool, I think it was a throwback jersey they were rocking, some silver in it. Yep. And
those helmets were great.
They were. Cool. And you could not have drawn up a better start for them. Opening kickoff to take it 100 yards back to the house. The place was already buzzing, and that just amped the electricity up 10 notches. And they never really looked back from there. Actually, North Dakota State looked decent on offense in the first half. But the Fighting Hawks, who, again, it's just not to go back to the Jacks, but They made North Dakota look so pedestrian. And then to see them look so good against North Dakota State, it makes you wonder how great South Dakota State really is. We'll find out as the season goes along. But they played awesome. And they had a kid, I forget his name, but the kid who returned the opening kickoff had, I believe, a rushing touchdown as well, maybe even two. He didn't do anything against South Dakota State, but he was fantastic against the Bison. And, I mean, it just – I remember the debate on Twitter. There was a lot going on about where North Dakota State should have been ranked after their loss against South Dakota. And this now, I would believe, would be the first time maybe ever that North Dakota State will be ranked behind South Dakota State, North Dakota, and South Dakota. I don't think that – I'm sure that's never happened. So they're falling back. But North Dakota looked good. They earned that game. They made plays from start to finish.
Yeah, and before when I said, you know, that it wasn't a fluke with USD, I don't want to take away from the game that USD played because I watched that game. That wasn't a fluke either. I mean, they straight out played NDSU in the Fargo Dome, which in and of itself is quite the accomplishment. That's different than being able to play at your home turf. So, you know, USD, man, they're looking good. You know, they got that big win on that last second field goal this week, and I mean, is it true, likely, that NDSU is the fourth best team in the Dakotas?
I mean, it sure looks like the schedule is going to show that in the end, and we'll see. I mean, they'll be geared up and ready to play when we're there. You can't take them lightly by any means. This is still the team that won 9 of 11, and you know they're, you know, just shortly removed from the national championship game, and they are who they are. But I think what my biggest takeaway from watching those couple of games is they're just not built to come back on anybody. I mean, they don't have that, they don't have that in them this year. I don't know if it's depth, if it's just they have a good offensive line but not elite this year, where they, you know, before you go for that whole stupid decade that we all hated so much, that they could be down by 14 at half and they had the other team right where they wanted them, right? I mean, it happened over and over and over, and suddenly just the avalanche happens and the cards fall and that's it, and they just don't have that in them this year. So no, I mean, congratulations to the North Dakota Hawks. I mean, that's got to feel great. I mean, long time coming for sure.
How high do you guys think North Dakota moves up this week in the rankings?
That's a good question, because
they were low teens last week.
They're 15.
Yeah, I was gonna say, like, depending on what poll, anywhere from 15 to, I mean, it just ranged a little bit, but
10-ish.
I got to think they got to be close to top 10, although now it's looking like NDSU isn't the number two team, number three team. Depends on where you had them, I guess, but to me, it's clear one and two. After that, it's awful muddy as to who's who, because it looked like Idaho was a definite three coming into this weekend.
And they lost to a team that we all suddenly thought was terrible, that we got mad when they got ranked.
Right. So. And I think that they've had some changes there in Montana that has caused their team to kind of gel and start playing lots better. So I think Montana's now probably worthy of being back in the top 25, but up to this weekend, that wasn't necessarily true. I mean, I guess the top 25 should be dynamic, you know, as those changes are occurring. So
it is, it's your resume over the course of the year, but what happens at the end is more important than what happened in the first 3 weeks.
Correct.
So they come together and no, it's, I mean, maybe they're starting to figure it out. You know that a school with that pedigree and that type of coaching and fan base and everything else, the dudes are there. It's the equivalent, and this is going to sound blasphemous, but I mean, you look at like a Texas A&M or something. They've got the guys, they've got the fan base, they've got the coaching. It's just, is it going to come together or not? You don't know. And if they do at the end, then again, then good for them. I mean, the subdivision is probably better when Montana's good.
Yeah, I think it is good for the subdivision.
I think it is too. That's before I follow the FCS closely. You knew about Montana. You knew who Montana was. You knew about the Grizz. So when they're a better team, I do think it helps the sport. I want to talk about that USD Youngstown State game for a second. USD winning and a game-winning field goal. Chad, you don't feel that that's a positive? I mean, I you're totally right with all the pettiness and all that stuff. But don't you want that game to be as hyped up as it can?
No, not at all. I am fully fine with them being irrelevant in football. It's good with me.
Yeah, it's hard to argue with that. I've got the same, like, I was, again, silly, just pettiness. I was annoyed when they left the Big Sky and came to the Missouri Valley. Mm-hmm. I was annoyed when they went FCS in the first place. Losing to them those couple of games was the worst thing ever. It's tough. It's tough to give them any sort of credit or anything whatsoever. But the idea of letting them get really excited and high on themselves and then just driving a stake through their collective hearts, that's fun too.
Yeah. I mean, because we owe them after that game where they got the second back on the clock that they so much did not deserve. But
are you guys more? I don't want to say scared, I guess just for the lack of a better term, worried. Are you more worried about this game on the road at Southern Illinois or 2 weeks in the Dome?
I mean, I guess I'd be a little more concerned with the Dome from the aspect of watching the Youngstown game with SIU versus the outcome of this last game they had with USD. Unless SIU just really laid an egg, Youngstown State completely dominated them with a run. I don't have a lot to say about our future game there, just because I think we're going to run all over them like we did the Redbirds.
Yeah, same. I think I'm a more just South Dakota has a better shot at beating the Jackrabbits than the Salukis do. And you know, 2-3 weeks ago, whenever that was, I had a much different opinion. I mean, exact opposite. I thought that Southern Illinois was going to be the hot team coming in, and you never know. And they're very well coached and they have a great quarterback. But then obviously things have petered out a little bit. And you know, I'm excited to talk to Luke Martin this week and kind of get his take and see where they're at. But no, I think, you know, they're going, no one's overlooking South Dakota State this year, clearly. So, I mean, they will come in, the Yotes will come in ready to go for sure.
A cool aspect of these two games, there are a revenge factor for in both contests. The last time that South Dakota State played Southern Illinois, I'm sure you guys remember, an incredibly entertaining game, 42-41 in Brookings, and they didn't play last year. So this is their first time seeing them. So I'm sure that will be talked about throughout the facilities within the program this week. And then you mentioned it, Chad, the last time they were in the Dome. I don't think anyone will ever forget that. So I don't think South Dakota State needs any extra fire to their flame, but they're probably going to hear about it this week that, you know, I'm sure they'll come out ready to play.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like that has really been an issue. We haven't really came out every game 100% on top of, you know, our A game, but we haven't been flat at all. I mean, in years past, we've had a couple games where maybe we're a little flat coming out, and that hasn't been the case.
That's a good point. I was going to bring that up too, that, you know, football is such a game of momentum, and I don't remember a time this season when we didn't have momentum, right? You've got the first two passes by Drake. Other than that, I don't know, man. Like, this team has had some serious juice.
Say Montana State. That was the one week I did think Montana State was a little bit more ready. I do think.
Yeah, you know, in the first half, yes. Yes. Nope, Tanner, you're right. I'm sorry.
That's fair, but I don't think we were flat. That's what I'm saying.
No, I agree. I agree with that. I want to run this by you guys, okay? This is in 2 weeks, South Dakota game, okay? On the road. In the FBS, the best game that week will probably be Oregon and Utah. Okay. Oregon just lost. Utah, they'll be a top 15 team. That's the best game. I'm just telling you right now, it's actually feasible that they go to Vermillion. If both teams take care of business this week, USD is ranked, let's say, eighth or seventh.
I've seen ballots with them third this week. So
there you go. I mean, I think.
Is NIU got a Saturday game that week? Because that'd be great if they went there instead.
Wait, what? Say it again.
Does NIU actually have a Saturday game that week? Because it'd be great if they went there instead.
Telling you, man, it's possible. College game day comes to Vermillion. I think it'd be super cool.
I brought it up. I've got my dentist actually is a South Dakota alum, played football there, and I told him that 2-3 weeks ago. That at that point, I'm like, dude, this was actually right after the Bison win, and I said, you got a 2% chance, because I've been tracking the SDSU-NDSU game. I've got, and actually I didn't tweet that out again last week, I've been updating all the November 4th matchups, because I thought, hey, that's even if the Bison lose a couple, it's still two known commodities, you know, on the national landscape. And this is all with the assumption that College game day, that their executive said, hey, we need to make sure we hit one FCS game every year, right? So that's like kind of the assumption that's going to happen. But no, it's looking more and more likely. I don't love it, but
I hate it. Yeah.
I hate it.
Here's the best thing that could happen.
No, I don't want them to have that. They have an earned
trees.
I don't want them to
have the trees are looking better, and the trees might beat them. The trees beat them, then we don't have to worry about this talk. It's all just
they're not going to beat them. I'd be shocked. I think you guys
are just pleasantly surprised.
I cannot believe you wouldn't want that. I get it's in Vermillion, but it's showcasing your team. It's showcasing the sport. You guys are out of your mind. That's the rivalry.
Ask
anyone from Fargo. They had the exact same opinion when we got it in 2019. They wanted nothing to do with it. They said we didn't deserve it. They said it was a bunch of crap. They hated every second of it because it was their thing and we weren't allowed to have it. And all they did was say that they only got it because they were there, right? So what? I'm saying the same thing. They don't deserve it. I don't want them to have it. And if they get it, it's only because we're going down there, and that's it.
Yep. That is a huge
We're going to sound like a bunch of NDSU fans, but here we are.
You're not – yeah, exactly. You're not wrong. You guys are the reason. You're the reason they're there, but they've also played their part. You guys are crazy. That'd be great for the
rivalry. Well, they got that stupid extra second that they never should have gotten. That's part of it.
Listen, to put the state of South Dakota – on a national platform that every college football fan is watching that day would be awesome. And if you guys go and you beat their butts.
If we destroy them in front of everybody, that'd be great. But
now, I will say what's going to hurt you guys.
Game day doesn't transition to the game.
I know. I wish they did.
That's the problem.
Same.
I know. And you know what? You know, if they have game day there, they're going to show that last second touchdown.
Uh-huh. And we're tired of seeing it.
You'll have to see that. Never happened. But it's possible.
And I'm about to drop an F-bomb about it, so I got to be careful because Matt's not here.
It's possible, though.
That ball landed right down past me. I won't say by who, but he may or may not be a part of this podcast network. And for sure, they shouldn't have had a second, but whatever. You know, if you can possess the ball out of bounds and it's a kick out of bounds, then they can figure out when the ball landed and it was well after the clock.
You're still
upset. I was looking at the clock.
2 years later, you're still upset.
I think, well, I'm upset because it was BS at the time. It's still BS that they got the time. They shouldn't have got the time. We also should have played that whole series different, but water under the bridge, right? Can't change that.
So no, if there wasn't pettiness in college sports, it wouldn't be fun. Chris is over it. We can be over it. I'm going to keep tracking this thing. And yeah, hopefully it lands at one of those games for sure. And again, that's the assumption. And I don't know that there's anybody else at this point, any other FCS matchups that are going to pull this. So
no, I mean, it's probably great from a writer's perspective. There's lots of different things. The oldest state U rivalry game. I mean, those things are all true without game day, but
you guys know that the first game that South Dakota State ever played was against USD, 6-6 tie. So
yeah,
they've got history. There's a lot of history there.
Oh yeah, 100%. No, it is. So do we want to flip and talk Salukis here a little bit? My major research is coming later this week, but.
I mean, I kind of alluded to my research that I did on them. You know, I look at their stats and it looks a little bit like they like to throw the ball a lot. They don't have any real stats for running, you know, not strong stats. You know, they got guys that average a few, but, you know, Nick Baker's one of their top runners. He's not super mobile. He's mobile enough. But he isn't a run first guy, if you know what I mean. So they don't run him on design runs. He gets where he's stuck in coverage and then will run with the ball and create some with his legs. You know, they had a get right game this week, beating Murray State 27-6. The fact that it was only 27-6, I think lends credence to Murray State being better than we all thought they were going to be. You know,
they are too. Murray State's
a little better than we thought they'd come in.
No, I 100%. I'm with you there. I'm actually kind of enjoying watching Murray State from a distance. I don't know. I haven't looked at any future schedules if we get them booked yet or not. But kudos to them. Yeah, 27-6, not super overwhelming. The big one, again, we'd be talking about a top 10 matchup if the Salukis hadn't lost at Youngstown State in convincing fashion, 31-3. Back on October 7th, that one was obviously disappointing. Youngstown State's a solid team. They're always a little bit scary. You don't know what you're going to get 1 week to the next. But, you know, they played they played just South Dakota down to the wire here this last week in Vermilion. You've got a 33-20 win by the Salukis. Missouri State, not super impressive there. Barely eked one out at SEMO, which at the time they were ranked 13th. Is SEMO ranked right now?
I think they fell out of the
I don't think they
top
are.
20.
Yeah, I think
now.
They've dropped out.
They're 2-4. They're not.
Yeah, so, I mean, nothing terribly impressive. You had Austin Peay to start out the year. And then, I mean, they do have that that, you know, let me use air quotes here, FBS win at Northern Illinois. But, I mean, come on, that's a middle-of-the-road Missouri Valley team if I've ever seen one. So, you know, who knows what's coming. Although, you look at the Salukis and that their schedule going forward, too, they've got Western Illinois. They still have to deal with South Dakota, North Dakota State, but Indiana State. But, I mean, you still are probably looking at a playoff team here that we're going down in Carbondale.
Yeah, potentially.
It's just confusing. That loss against Youngstown State is just confusing. It's not that they lost. It's just the outcome, 31-3. You wouldn't expect that. So, and that's kind of college football in the sense where it's such a wild card type of sport. But I will say about the Salukis, remembering them 2 years ago, different team now, but they do have and did have Nick Baker at quarterback. Uh-huh. And you're right, Chad. He's not a guy who's going to take off for 70 yards down the field, but he is mobile enough where he's got some quick feet. He can get around in the pocket. He can give a team problems. He gave South Dakota State a lot of problems 2 years ago. So that is something to watch for. And I don't know that they've quite played a quarterback like him yet this year. You can look at Montana State, but I think he's maybe a better thrower than those two guys. So that's something to look for. And they're on the road. You never know. So I would keep your eye on Nick Baker, but I did watch their highlights against Murray State this past week. It didn't look all that impressive. They had an opening touchdown run, I think it was 75 yards in the first play of the game, and only scored 20 points from there on out on a Murray State team that's not maybe the best. But, again, it's a team that they've had some battles over the years that have been good ball games, and we know what happened the last time they played. So South Dakota State's full attention should be on containing Nick Baker in the pocket, because if he gets outside, that's when your defense breaks down. So he is a playmaker, and he can do that.
So I tend to agree with Whytown here, who says that if you pressure Nick Baker like YSU did, they had 7 sacks, it takes them out of their game offensively. And I think we can do that. And I think that, I mean, that's why I feel like this game is going to be a mixture between the game we just saw where we put a lot of pressure on Theo Day and Illinois State. You know, it's going to be a mixture of that. I think we have a good game, honestly. I mean, not to take away from the Sauk Lukies, because I know the Sauk Lukies fear no man. We'll get a really interesting take on it tomorrow night, because Stone Labanowitz is going to be on with the B team.
Oh, is he really?
Yeah. He said he'd come on, so get that set up. So if you guys want to – Stone's excellent to listen to. You think the guy's a little bit much to begin with, and then you just realize – that's just who that guy is. And he's awesome, actually. So
I still remember doing a pod talking about him when we first started. And I mean, that you talk about all name team. Oh yeah. Where did that come from? The fishing thing? It was getting a big fish on the wall or something like that.
Yeah. Something about that. And they thought they were, that was funny.
Yeah.
Did he play at SIU?
Yes. He was the quarterback that got replaced by Nick Baker. Was it by Nick Baker or another guy? I think it was.
It was by Baker. That was, so that would have been 2019 that Stone played. We went down and actually Kyle, formerly of JI, now is splitting hairs. He and I both kind of met in the middle. He drove up from Texas and I drove down to Carbondale, watched that game. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, so that might be one for you to watch tomorrow, guys. I don't know. Dallas, you got any other thoughts really on them? Like I said, they got a couple guys average. One averages Elliot is his, and he averages 54 yards, and Justin Strong, who averages 38 on the ground. They got Hartrup as their top receiver with 56 yards per game average, and Davis with 54, and another guy that averages 27. So offensively, they just don't look to have the firepower they did back in the game that you're talking about, Tanner, where they were offensively a juggernaut back then. Yeah.
No, but you look at it again, it's a very well coached team. You know, the thing that I think almost any matchup that we have is going to come down to is we have the best offensive and defensive lines in the country. So if you get through the emotion and any weirdness that comes out of the start of a game, any fluky stuff, you get by that, you know, I think we can take control and just take care of business.
But also, we kind of got to go back to what Kurt Lickus said. You know, there are no easy days in the Valley. We all know each other. We all play each other tough. So, I mean, anything can happen within conference.
What do you guys think the spread will be for this game?
Ooh, I think us by 30, around 30 points.
So? Oof. Well, I wouldn't go that high.
We've been scoring 40. And, well, I guess, I don't know. They scored 31 yesterday, yeah. I guess, right? So
I'd say around, my guess would be 22.5, 23.
I was going to go 19.5 would be my guess. That's still a lot of points. I mean, I get everybody loves us and we're good. And maybe that, if anybody's putting money down, it probably pushes the line further. But to me, I'd go 19-ish. Is that their place?
Right.
No, fair question. Sorry, one thing that I wanted to mention. See, you were, just before that, we were talking about line play. We were talking about, oh, I lost it. Chad, what were you saying right before this?
What, I was talking no easy day in the Valley?
No easy day in the Valley. There was something, I totally lost it. I had something earlier that I wanted to call out, but anyway, we can move on. Do we, what's that?
Chad mentioned the defensive line as well.
Yeah, it'll come back to me. That's fine. Was that batch of rambling? Was that brought to us by anybody, Chad?
Jackrabbit Central, the best place to get your Jacks gear.
It is the best.
They are the best. They are the only go-to place with three locations, a game day location, the general store, if you will, in the Union. And then now they have their newly remodeled Jack Central downtown on the, I guess it's on the east side of the road there. So,
yep, get downtown or jackrabbitcentral.com. Go buy some stuff.
Yeah, that's right.
.com.
Have you ever been over there and checked out the gear?
I have not personally.
Oh man, they got the best gear. You really should check it out.
We'll do.
And get yourself a cool hat. Can I have a personal shout out? I'd just like to shout out, you know,
please.
John Colley for giving me the club 32 gear. You know, he's our tie-in with Kubota and a great guy and got me hooked up with some club 32 gear. And for those of you that don't know what club 32 is, I won't take time here to explain it too much, but go check it out on Facebook. Just Google club 32. It'll come up. And Les Tuma is a former running back for SDSU. It's honoring his memory. So
a good teammate of my dad's.
Yeah, that's right.
No, nope, my dad knew him quite well.
I think he's still sixth all-time in running yards, so.
Yep.
What position did your dad play, Dallas?
My dad was a 6 foot, 3.5 inch safety, and he still holds all the interception records.
No kidding.
From back in the 70s when they threw the ball about 10% of the time that they do now, and also, you know, played six less games a year than they do now.
Our fans are the best, and they are pointing out that Touchdown Tuesday this week will be a 25% discount on all the gear. So that's true online as well as in-store at Jackrabbit Central or jackrabbitcentral.com. So thanks, guys. So moving on, do we got much more to discuss? I guess not. We're pretty much at an hour.
We are at an hour. Yeah.
We've kind of touched on all the games. Is there anything else salty around the Valley that we need to discuss or around the FCS that we haven't touched on?
I think we hit all the major matchups and excited to see what this next week's bring. Should we hit predictions and such here for this week?
I knew we were missing something. Thank you. One thing we didn't talk about was the predictions from last week. Ron Lowney had it closest with 38-3. Dallas, you had 32-17, and Matt went conservative with 27-24 on our last game. So
Dallas, were you a little surprised too by the way they won?
Yeah, 100%. Because I still, you know, you and I, while they haven't been horribly consistent this year, is a good team. You know, I'm a little bit, just like I think any other fan that's been around for a while, was still a little bit, you know, haunted by some of the ghosts of Hobo days past and all that. And man, that wasn't even an afterthought. Didn't happen. Oh, I know what I was going to bring up. So we were talking about the excitement of the team. And you said earlier, they're not bored. Yeah. And one thing that I think maybe we haven't acknowledged yet is what the coaching change did to that this year. Stig's message over and over would have been basically, hey, you know, 1 week at a time, we're going to go in, do our job. You know, hey, this team is good. We got to make sure we're prepared, on and on and on. What does Jimmy do? Jimmy walks in and basically says, we're going to kick the bleep out of everybody every week. We are going to step on their throats. I forget what wording he used, but entirely different mentality than Coach Stig, right? So I think that maybe that, there's no monotony when you go from, hey, we got to respect, and I'm sure they respect everybody. I'm not saying they don't, but hey, we got to respect everybody. You know, every, any given week, stuff could happen. One play at a time, last play, blah, 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 which is all correct. And I love Stig to death. I texted him today. However, just that going from, hey, been there, done that last year, new guy steps in, we are going to murder everyone we play. That's an entirely different mindset. And that's exciting.
I think that's why he was the perfect coach that, it's such a great transition. Like, it's almost perfect. Stig got them to the mountaintop, and now Jimmy's like, great, I'm here to keep them going. And that's exactly what's happening.
Yeah, and, you know, I think that's good. That's a good transition. We can move on to the game picks, I think.
Let's do it, which is brought to us by Cubby's Sports Bar and Grill in Brookings. Cubby's, thank you for sponsoring this segment. If you're going to Brookings for a game or for any reason, get your butt to Cubby's. Have a meal.
I realize that wasn't the most fluid transition, but sometimes it's not. Dallas, who you got? Yeah. Hey, we're professionals, right? At least one of us. Sorry, we're not trying to make you look as bad as I am.
We're just dragging Tanner down into the depths.
I love this stuff. I love coming on. Yeah,
we appreciate you coming on, sincerely.
Thank you.
Let's start with you, since you're the guest. Who do you have as your offensive player of the game? Who would you tab as the?
Is this for next week?
For next week versus the Sock Lukies.
I will go with Jackson Yonke. I think his brother had this week kind of stole the show on the perimeter. Jackson will get the ball a little bit next week. I'll take Jackson as my player of the game out in Illinois.
Okay, Dallas, who you got?
Give me Mark.
Mark.
Safe pick.
Safe pick. I am going to go with number 22. I feel like he's going to eat large. So Isaiah Davis for me.
Love it.
And how about on defense? Tanner, who you got?
You know, I'll go with Quentin Hicks. I think he's quietly had a really good season. I think he's going to have a breakthrough game.
I think that's an excellent pick, and I accidentally called him the wrong Quentin earlier when we were talking about it. He has played excellently. Dallas?
Yes. Also going with a member of the Chain Gang. Again, no surprise. He was probably my third number three pick for this week, Jared DePriest.
Jared DePriest, got to meet him and his father this week. And before we were going downtown, we were at Boss's Pizza, and it was good to meet him. I talked to his dad quite a few times. But I'm going to go with Caden Johnson. You know, he's really been doing well, and that's who I'm going with. So do we want to have anybody on special teams? You think we're going to have anything happen on special teams, Tanner?
Tucker Large, punt return touchdown.
Ooh, yeah, I like that.
Tucker Large, yeah. How about you, Dallas? You agree?
Only because I can't think of anything more entertaining.
I would like to point out one thing, to reel it back just a little bit. Tucker Large's coverage was excellent this game. I noticed that. I wrote it down in my notes and kind of forgot about it until you brought his name up, so thank you for that. And I agree with you. I'm surprised we haven't got one yet, or didn't get one this last game, I guess, is what I was trying to say. How about score prediction, Tanner? What do you think it'll be?
Can you guys still hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Can you hear me? I lost you guys for a second.
Oh, sorry. How about a score? Yeah.
Yeah, I gotcha. I'm not going to underestimate this team anymore. Not that I have. I just I thought they'd have more competition, and they've just been outperforming every expectation I've had. I think it'll be a game for close to a half. I think they pull away late. I'll go 44-17.
44-17. How about you, Dallas?
38-10. Good guys.
38-10. And I am somewhere in between you two. I wrote down on my sheet 48-10. So I think they at least get a touchdown, a little better than the Panthers. You know, we got a lot of people in here calling for Wildy. 45-15. Our boy Jamal, always love seeing him on here. We get some people from the Fans Nation Network on here too. So it's good.
Matt Wildy, GFW.
Oh, yeah. Well, my bad. GFW. It's like, you know, it's not USD anymore. It's JSD. My bad. Just South Dakota. That comes from another podcast. We weren't the first ones to say that, so we're just running with it. And that was, like we said before, presented by Cubby Sports Bar and Grill. And I think that's going to about do it, don't you think, Dallas?
I do. I think we're good. So with that, everybody, go big, go blue.
Go
Jacks.
We hope you've enjoyed this podcast. We would also like to once again thank our sponsors, the Kubota Dealers of South Dakota, Culver's of Brookings and Watertown, Jackrabbit Central, and Colby Sports Bar and Grill. And as always, Go Jacks.